This podcast is suitable for students between the ages of 16 to 25. If you're interested in self-improvement, productivity, study tips, this is the podcast for you.
Welcome to the Sweet and Sour Podcast.
My name is Abdumumuni Hikmat. I'm a student just like you. I'm passionate about personal development and productivity. So, if this is your first time listening to this amazing voice, don't make it your last. If not, sweetie, you know how we roll now.
Let me hear you say H to the I to the Q, to the M to the A and the T. H to the I to the Q, to the M to the A and the T. H to the I to the Q, to the M to the A and the T.
Okay, so hello everybody. Welcome back to another episode, or rather the last episode of the Met's Realities. And thank you so much for joining us today. If you haven't been following this series, I would like recommend you do if you're interested in like if you're interested in what the life of a medical school students. Okay, now I'm in trouble. If you're interested in the life of a medical student and you just want to know how it is, like what was on like in the life of a medical student, yes. So yeah, you can hop on this. It just wants to know anything. You can just really listen because like I've really been having interesting guests on the series. And on today's episode, there's someone very interesting here, and he's in 600 level, University of Abuja, Medicine and Surgery, and he was the immediate past NIMSA Vice President Internal. NIMSA stands for Nigerian Medical Students Association, right? So he goes by the name Idodo. I don't know if that's the name I know. I don't actually know his like full name, so I'll leave him for him to introduce himself. So thank you so much, Idodo, for doing.
All right. Hey, everyone. Good day to all listeners and good day to you, Hikmat, beautiful lady behind this amazing podcast. It's a pleasure being on this episode series and to share a lot about my medical school journey. I'm Emmanuel Idodo. People know me as Idodo.
Because Idodo is your son.
Idodo is my son, actually. My name is Emmanuel. Emmanuel Idodo from Edo State. And I am a final year medical student. And like she... like earlier pointed out, I was the vice president internal affairs of the foremost and largest student organization in Nigeria, which is the Nigerian Medical Student Association. And I was finally a medical student like earlier stated, and I'm someone who loves medical books. That qualifies me like me having a book. It happened with it. Me like we call it.
You like me?
Like, yeah, I like reading and that. And I love traveling. And I love networking. I love politics. And I love sports. Manchester United fan.
Okay.
About one at that. And
what?
Then.
But I don't know why you didn't interested at this level, zero.
That beat down.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we are winning 3 cups this season.
Oh my god.
I love chess and I love great movies and lovely music. It's a pleasure being on this podcast.
You're like giving me lots of things. That's very interesting. So I think one thing I like to do is ask people things they're grateful for, because I feel like irrespective of however the situation is in Nigeria, you know, wherever you are, like, there's still something to be grateful for. So like, just tell us three things that you're grateful for today.
I guess going through medical school, people have taught me to be grateful for life. Not just life, being healthy. Yeah, being healthy. And then... you see, WHO defines health as a complete state of total physical, mental, social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Yeah. I believe I tick 2 of those boxes. Mentally, I say I'm okay. Physically, yeah, I'm good. Socially, social well-being is something that we are all still trying to get. And yeah, we get that. Then, second thing I'm grateful for is I'm grateful for family and good friends. Yeah, so... without family and good friends, I believe that going through medical school would be tough. And my family have been there from day one, all through my medical school journey, and I'm so grateful for that. And good friends, so they have few, and they've been there to take and team. And last but not the least, I'm grateful for growth. Yeah, growing through medical school from 100 level through to my 600. Yeah, I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for how much I've achieved. I believe that I've achieved a bit, and I know that by the grace of God, my trajectory is for greatness, and I'm still going there. So I'm grateful for life, I'm grateful for my family and friends, and then I'm grateful for my journey so far, I feel like. Yeah.
So, I'm just admiring you, like, spend curves. I really showed like a 600.
Don't worry, soon. So it's just like,
yeah, I'm saying. So, I don't know, for a lot of people, they struggle to get into med school. Some people would have to like take a degree first before they, you know, eventually will finish that degree and then come back home, study medicine. So I want to know how was your admission process? Like, did you get admission immediately or did you have to do something else? Or did you have to wait? What was it like for you?
Okay, it wasn't easy. I didn't get into medical school immediately. I finished my secondary school. I guess I finished secondary school around 2013.
Okay.
Well, I got into medical school 2015. Now there's three years there about. Okay. So I stayed over for like 2-3 years. Was it a productive 2-3 years? I had none of the dough, not at all. Okay, I wrote 3 jams. The first one, during my secondary school, like when you're about finish, you write that jam. So when you finish, you get into school. I didn't really perform well, so I didn't put my mind in going to university that year, because from my secondary school, I always wanted to study medicine. So when I didn't score that high, I said, no, let me leave it. And then the second jam I wrote, I applied to University of Benin, which is my state.
Yeah.
Hoping that I'll get
that. Yeah, I do.
Not any admission, but admission into medical school. But my dear, I got admission, but it was about chemistry or something like that. But I was like, nah.
So you didn't take it?
So I didn't take it. So then, chilling to apply for the next jam, my mom was like, why don't I try and resolve Abuja? She heard that they had met in his back. And then I had a sister who was raised in Abuja. I'm on the strike then. I was like, go for me. I study medicine, University of Abuja. So I was like, no. So she kept on persuading me. I was like, it's not me that will pay for your jam. So I don't understand. It's not me that will pay for your school fees. So I'm telling you, school, yeah, I was like, okay. Because I've stayed in Abuja all my life, right?
You lived in Abuja.
Went to Abuja after that. So I wanted to like change location. Like medical school, I want to study in Abuja. So I always wanted to go. So I tried and apply to UI. That was what I wanted to go, University of Ibadan. I wanted to apply there, but I'm sorry. I just said, okay, now let me try. If they don't give me medicine, anything I see, I'll forget. At that point, I was tired of this long. My face already like, already moving ahead, but I was still trying to get admission. Well, I applied. Luckily for me, I scored high in JAM. But I guess it was not the JAM that gave me admission. My mom said this on Makasha. So when my name came out, someone sent me like someone sent my mom my captured and like, hey, your son was in admission.
Wow.
I'm like, wow.
Making that sort of power. Fine now.
But like, it's basically I'm just safe. Let me just go. At least any which way you will just push through.
So I got into admission 2015 November. And I will say today sitting down here, that's that decision that I made gruntly, right? Not happy to make that decision, was part of the best decision I've made, because I've traveled to a lot of schools in Nigeria, and I'll say that University of Abuja is up there.
We're getting there.
We are getting there, but we are up there. So it's part of like one of the greatest decisions my mom made for me coming here to study. So that's my journey through
for second. Interesting. So in the course of our conversation, you were saying you always wanted to study medicine.
Yeah.
So, but then I don't know if you've ever given a thought, like, if not medicine, what would it have been for you?
Oh, bro, okay. If not medicine, what would have been done?
Yeah.
Last 2 weeks, I saw one meme on Twitter. Okay. I don't know if I can describe
it. Oh, wait, why do people call it meme? Is it meme or meme?
It's meme. What was it, meme? What was it, meme?
My sister says meme.
Well, meme is like the actual one. So I don't know why. Is
that the English for it?
I don't know. I really don't. Well, I saw a meme or a meme or a meme on Twitter last week, and then it was like, how medicine gone? There's all like, but this medicine will see the end of me. Like, it's too hectic that I want to keep. Then I asked him, if not medicine, what else? I was like, oh no.
That's the medicine.
So that's me too. If not medicine,
medicine
is no. Now, I'm 27. Just for it. And I believe that I have seen life to that extent and seen what course might maybe be suitable for me.
Core.
And I feel like medicine is something that is there. So even medicine, right? Yeah.
Oh, which is so Speaking of mental health.
Okay.
Obviously, I don't know, I feel like at some point through your journey so far, there would have been times where you had mental breakdowns, like, and you know, basically even studying medicine itself, like, I feel like the whole, like, the curriculum, everything is so spiced, hectic, yes. So how have you been able to balance, like, studying medicine and, you know, your mental, because, like, no, as doctors, you have to be held, honestly, so, and then I feel like mental health is something like in Nigeria, they don't take it seriously. You can't tell your prayer, they are depressed, they tell you depression. You might pop it.
Yeah, sure.
So, how do we aim to balance that with study medicine?
Okay, I'll be honest, I stated that mentally I'm okay now. Now I'm okay, but throughout the years, like, it's been a long, long year of study. And there have been times where you just get overwhelmed with the workload, with your reading curriculum, and you're like, you're not going anywhere. And then you feel so sad. Well,
so sorry, you have to go for the heat. No, just continue.
Like I said, throughout my years of study, like this would be seven, eight years now. There have been instances where we have had to maybe cry my best shit sometimes. A big silent dispatcher.
Men are allowed to cry. That's just like.
Yeah, but it was kind of like that, and it all points to the workload, like what you have to read, and then you feel like you're not going anywhere, and then there are times you go to class and you want to read, and then it's not just entering, and then you're so frustrated, and then the in course is like in the following week, and then med school is either you pass or you fail, and failing can be either you repeat or you are withdrawn. And then you know how Nigerian families are, that you're already in school and you are not going anywhere.
There anybody a doctor?
Yeah, I told you about my mom doctor, papa doctor. And then you're in school, you're like, oh, well, this pressure is more true. It's more true. I need to just go.
You can't do it,
and then it's not just that you're seeing colleagues being dropped off. And then you're like, wow, this could mean me some.
Yeah.
But it's difficult. But so far, thank God that I haven't had the cost to break down. I've had two colleagues that are, one actually got withdrawn from med school because he had the mental issue. He couldn't continue. And then I have another colleague who is still struggling through medical school, and she's an antipsychotic. So this mental health issue is an issue that people are not really putting out a lot of light on in Nigeria. It's an issue outside there, but in Nigeria, there's no much awareness. I cherish the organization like NIMSA, through their mental health advocacy network, trying to push out that. Then there are other NGOs that are still talking about it, but more light
has to be shared.
On the
mental health.
Now there's like MDCA, which is the Medical Dental and Cancer of Nigeria. In other schools, they're implementing a compulsory psychiatric exam. Like psychiatry now is a subspecialty exam in med school. Like in the curriculum we run, we don't have a psychiatry exam standalone. But now it's coming up that you have to have in your final MBBS. After you write medicine, you write surgery, you write psychiatry exam, like you have to write that. So they are shedding more light to it. And of recent, they passed the bill, a mental health bill in the National Assembly, and we are happy that so far, more light to
it. That's really nice, because I remember it's a really big thing, because back in the hostel, all of a sudden, only a girl decided to just blow it. I don't think you guys
saw that.
And then, like, I thought that, okay, I'm sure the core is doing next. You're asking everybody to bring the mental health check, like, the results. You understand? Because it was like, the point was already more like, I was there, and then people were trying to stop her, and then she was holding that, and it was really crazy. Really, yeah, everybody's taking care of their mental health. It's not easy. Nigeria is not friendly, but make sure you. This guy, check on me, so please, the way she laughed, and her character. I'd be happy. So, you've written in lots of inquiries. I don't even know how many inquiries are back. I'd say, like, which one of them gave you, like, a really big fright? Like, you thought you wouldn't pass this inquiry, but eventually, maybe you eventually were just to admit that you're able to pass that inquiries.
Okay, inquiries in medical school, I lost count at 50, Sha.
Wow.
And I was like, maybe 500. I lost count at 50. So, we actually used a lot of examples we write here and there. And every inquest is like even the main exam, because the preparation you put into an inquest is in preparation every year for your final exam. So it's that hectic. So
okay, I'm always prepared for my NCLEX. That is something that I don't joke with because of I need to pass my exams. I'm very, how I put it, I multitask a lot, so I'm into a lot of things. So I need to prove to them that I can actually multitask and still pass my exams. So I'll just rephrase this by saying that, okay, there was no, it's not that I was scared of, I actually passed the exam. I failed that exam in the sense that this happened in my 200 level, my very first in-course anatomy. So it was upper limb in-course, right? And then I was very prepared, my dear. I was very prepared. I was even teaching the running tutorials for my colleagues and there and there. But this exam, I failed to confirm for my seniors on there's a rule then that happens in MCQ where there's an except and not.
Oh, right?
So I didn't really get the clear picture of that stuff. So I was very prepared for the exam. And then I went into the exam and then I saw half of the question was except and not in it. And I was like, oh my God, what did I just do to myself? I shot myself in the leg. So after that exam, I came out, I was scared, and the result came out. I was hoping to pass. So when you said you're hoping to fail and then you passed. I was hoping to pass, but not pass very well. At least pass. But no, I got 20 something that in course. At that in course, pass shaped my how I put it, my mind towards anatomy and towards surgery now. So me, I didn't like anatomy after that in course because that thing just spoiled my mood. You know how first thing just tend to change your directory and everything. So up to now, I don't even like surgery because of that. So it just changed my whole mood. So that in course was something that really messed me up.
That's so much. So far, obviously, like this question, I didn't believe I should be asking you.
Okay.
So, but then, so like, when you ask it, after your medical school, after like both of you, okay. So after you're done now, you're going to do what next? Because I don't want to start in hierarchy of this thing. So after you're done, you do what next?
You do your house job, they say. 1 year compulsory. It's internship, but it's called house job in medical school. So you do 1 year internship or 1 year house job. Then you move on to do your NY, which is option.
If you want to.
If you want.
After that,
then you might not want to specialize. You might specialize. Or you may, especially in the sense that you want to like choose a field you want to focus on, like maybe you want to focus in ONG or pediatrics, or maybe a unit in medicine, maybe endocrinology. Then go and write the primaries, and then you go into that unit and you spend the couple of years you're meant to spend, and then you become a consultant, a fellow with any consultant. Then you're good with school, anything medical school related. Then you just start practicing fully. And that's that.
So now, like after everything, what's your ultimate? You want to travel or you want to stay?
Oh, I see. This question, even I don't know how to make it funny, but the fact is that if you carry 10 medical students in their final year now, you put them in this room and ask them who was Japa or stay. 9 out of those 10 said
Japa, yeah.
Japa is the new word. And one day,
if you don't understand your Japa, Japa means like travel around. Obviously, everybody does understand the language.
Everybody, everyone in Japan understands.
Yeah, it's so good. They have to put that on it.
Very soon, I feel like the dictionary put that word as the word and define it specifically. So I want to Japa, actually. With my 200 level, I didn't want to Japa. I was like, let me stay back.
I still have to.
Not that I have to. I just felt like, this is why I just started reading this book this day. I will stay.
But also, what have you seen?
Okay, yeah. Now, so now that I'm closer to the like exiting school and going into the main system that I want in Japan from, I'm seeing the whole lot. Nigeria was ranked 187 as of the last two counts before. Out of 191.
What are you then?
87 out of 191 in terms of health service, healthcare and everything.
In the world.
But now, the last 2021 study, in the original published that Nigeria had moved off 20 position up to 167. But that doesn't depict the actual picture we are seeing now in the night. And that is another fact. Now, I'll tell you the story, right? This is a patient-centered story. Now, there are two reasons, but now, there's what we call the push and the pull factor. That's when you go on talk shows on Japan, you hear the push factor will push you out of Nigeria. And then the pull factor is those people that, the country that is out there, what are you seeing that you want to go there? So that, those are the pull factors. Now, when you diverge more in the patient center, for me, the patient center. Now, you see that there's a story I want to, in my 500 level, right?
Yes.
When I was in plastic surgery.
Thank you.
So that's the unit under surgery.
Thank you.
So when A&E, that's the emergency. And then the patient came in. That patient had third degree burn, like all her skin was peeled off already.
And where did that patient come from? It's not
like from a neighboring hospital in Abuja or from...
The patient came from all the way from Enugu.
It's like a 10-hour drive. Someone had third degree burn.
Wow.
From Enugu.
She fly from Enugu.
And it was by road. Can you imagine? And that is something that the patients are like, my dear, the healthcare in that sense. That's what I'm saying, that if you take the rank of Nigeria, that is 167 out of 191, but that is still very poor. That is patient center. In the whole of Nigeria, you have like few centers having MRI, whatever CT scans. So these are things that the patient needs to survive or need to like improve their health. And,
yeah.
And then for the doctor, you have a doctor. Now, the WHO just brought out a study that one doctor to 10,000 patients, the doctors are overworked, underpaid. And not just the overwork, like you are staying in work from 8 to 5. When you're staying in work as a house officer, you're staying in work at maybe 23 hours after 24 hours. And then you're paid a very, although it's money, people see that it's money in Nigeria, but that's a very little money compared to the work you're
doing. Yes, 2 hours you're working.
And then you're done with house job, you're going to NYC. Now you're receiving maybe between 3,000 as NYC, and then you're working. And then after school, what next? Now, people say, people want to japa.
Yeah.
But you're true with your NYC. Like I said, after a house job, you go to NYC. After NYC, now you write your primaries. You want to stay in Nigeria, you write your primaries, right? Mm-hmm. There's no hospital to absorb you after your primaries. So you're staying after school. You're staying like 4 years after medical, after being a medical. So you're not getting into
residency.
And then you expect me to still be struggling in Nigeria to get into residency training.
You can't
get into Nigeria, but you can do that outside. And you're better paid outside, even though some places you're overworked, but you're better paid. And then you're living in this. Your job security is there. And safety and security in general.
And you have like better equipment and
equipment
to for your patient.
And it's too sad that a patient can't afford the basic health care that he or she is meant to afford.
Where?
And so it's a lot. The push factor, the pull factor, a lot. So I just want to jump out. I won't lie to you, but my comeback, sharp.
We want you back, but like I have it. Everybody just be great. Yeah, so that's really brings me to this next question. So like I'm sure like maybe in your first year, second year, third year, you had a perception of what the healthcare system is like in Nigeria. And now you've got into like the final year.
Yeah.
So what has your perception changed? Obviously has changed. And so what changed and what has changed about it?
It became worse, that is what I was saying. My perception before was that, okay, here the healthcare was...
Not that bad.
But my care is worse. It's worse. It's really worse.
I've seen
a lot, actually. From the fact that patient come in an emergency, I can't get there to even... In emergency that, let me see, the space of life and death is like maybe 1 hour. When you're coming to a hospital and there's no bed, then you say, go to this facility. And that facility is like 1 hour away or 2 hours away. And then you go, how would that patient survive? Or you have a patient, you can't even run a basic test for this patient because of there's no equipment to run that test. And then you're referred to another facility. And that facility now might say, patient avoiding, but it's come back in 2 months' time. That's really, really bad. And then, like I said, doctors are overworked and underpaid. I'll see. If things like this are put in place, like in the military setting now, let me dive in. Once you're through military service, right? Like school, you were given a car and a house at least to start from. If doctors are like maybe after school, you're giving this leverage to maybe start up life with, and then your salary is doubled, and then all this basic welfare they put in place, and then you see that people will stay, the doctors will be much, healthcare will improve, manpower will improve, and then they just let the government channel
Let me ask it. For patients, like, how is it like for patients who can't afford? You know, I feel like now some people can't afford like some of these things. So is it like a bill for them? Like, is it like a subsidized rate for them? Like, you know, how is it going to be healthcare system for everybody? If like there's some certain things that some people can't. can't afford, and they want, you know, there's some rural areas where some people wouldn't go to the hospital, they wouldn't give birth to the hospital.
Yeah.
They don't just buy the idea of giving birth in the hospital. But there are some people that want this, like they want to be able to access this kind of facilities, but they can't afford it.
Right. Yeah. Now, Nigeria, have an organization or
authority known as the Nigerian Healthcare Insurance Authority.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like a health, how I put it, like something is a insurance company per se, where it's really for people that are working, that is how I feel. So if you are working, you're channeling like,
is it 5 or 10% of your salary into that insurance, which is National Health Insurance Authority.
So when you're sick, then they might subsidize the drug for you. Yeah. Well, now, this NHIA now is restricted to some drugs, some surgeries, some tests.
It doesn't cover all.
So if you needed to do an MRI,
yeah,
it doesn't cover. MRI is like about 150k. It doesn't cover. You still have to down it for that money to do that. So you just cover your basic health care and all. But Nigeria still has a long way to go. Let me just put that. And we're focused out into healthcare and education. I believe we can.
Let's see. These are working in Nigeria.
Oh, that's very interesting. So I would just say, like, we've come a long way, and
yeah,
to wrap this up, I would like you to give like an advice to, you know, someone that is like a year below you, and then you give an advice to one person that's like really struggling out there, wanting to get into medical school, you know, that type of thing.
Okay.
Yes.
You are someone below me. Yeah. Is that I'm sure you know what brought you up to that level you're in now,
yeah,
and you should continue doing that. Yeah. And put in this watchword, hard work. Hard work first, then you pray, then you be consistent with what you're doing. So prayer won't just solve
everything. But I feel like what you said, that really prayerful.
Yes. I have colleagues that will pray for one. But I don't know if that works. But I feel like
it works, but only that.
Only that does work. Yeah, it does work, actually. I can testify to the fact that prayer and hard work was what pulled me through med school up to this particular point. So that's just it. So continue doing what you're doing, and then put in the hard work, and then you pray. So who you believe in, and then you be consistent in what you're doing, right? Then for someone who's out there thinking of coming into med school, whether you should come into or you should not come into, yeah, you can come. Just ensure that you get the requirements of JAUN.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every school has their own. I mean, type school you want to come into, and ensure that you actually believe that that school will take you. If you are like Nigeria working in a way that they have quota system per indigene or whatever. So if you are an indigene in your state and you want to apply to them, ensure that you are from that state, you apply, and then you just make sure you pass your JAUN very well.
Just the right white combination.
And have the right white combination, yeah. Right white combination, pass your JAUN. Apply to the school, you feel like they'll give you, you have higher chance of getting admission. And then you pray. Yeah. And then if your parents have connects, they should help you. In Nigeria, IT is connect to. It's people coming to med school with the pajama, right? Sure.
I don't know about that. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure, okay?
Thank you.